Once upon a time, on a wide gray beach, there was a wild, cold sailor. At least, he had been a sailor. But now his ship was at the bottom and his mind was on the rocks. He didn't know where he was, didn't know who he was. But clutched in each fist as he staggered down the sand was proof. Proof that an old local story was more than just a story. Proof that there was something out there, somewhere on those wide, cold beaches. Something long buried. A lost legend. Welcome to Buried Legends. You caught me. Outdated technology, this typewriter. Way before my time. Well, I'm a child of the internet age. But, well, what can I say? I like old things. Well, I guess you can see that for yourself with just a glance around my little den here. Old books jostling with older curios on the shelves. The only light, a puddle of warm incandescence around the base of this antique desk lamp. Dim, but not gloomy. This room has a very cozy feel, don't you think? Well, and very comfortable chairs. Here, try this one. Very nice spot to sit with a warm mug of something and tell a good story. Or write one. This is where I research and write the Camp Monsters podcast that we've been doing for the last 5 years. So many good stories come to the surface as we do research for Camp Monsters, and not all of them fit that format. So we decided to take the best other stories and share them here on the Buried Legends podcast. What is this podcast going to be? Well, it's kind of an archive. An archive of whispers. Of stories half remembered. Of those memories that you're almost sure are dreams. We gather all these things together and we do a little digging. Most of the time we don't end up with anything but dirt, but every once in a while, something comes to the surface. Something like this. Here, take a look at it. Just a few pieces of crumbling old black paper, sheets torn from an old-fashioned photo album or a scrapbook, with yellow, cracked newspaper clippings stuck to them, only kept from turning into dust by the shiny old paste that sticks them to the black background. No masthead, no hint of what newspaper they were clipped from or when, but mentioned in the articles of other current events fixes the date in 1911. And the bylines fix the location on the coast of Washington State. The story they tell is strange and tantalizing. It seems back in 1911 a man was found staggering down a beach on the remotest stretch of Washington's coast. He was matted and wild-eyed, almost dead from the frigid wind that winter brings lashing in off the Pacific. His clothes were weathered shreds and his words were gibberish, but clutched in each of his fists, clutched so tightly that they'd drawn what little blood was left in the man, were several heavy gold coins of antique Spanish minting, excelentes and escudos de oro, or doubloons, as the newspapers called them. None of the coins newer than the mid-1570s. When the man was got back to civilization, parts of his story began to take shape. He was recognized as a sailor named Carl Skallagrimsson, one who had shipped aboard the Krogstad, a lumber schooner missing and presumed lost off the coast some 2 weeks before the man was found. An identification photo at the Sailors' Union Hall in the nearby port of Hoquiam seemed to confirm his identity. But the Carl who had shipped aboard the Krogstad was similar to this wreck of a man in appearance only. For one thing, the very capable English that Carl had acquired during 15 years sailing this Western American coast had deserted him completely. The language that his rescuers had mistaken for gibberish was actually his native Norwegian, but once translated, it was still gibberish. Word blood flowing from a wounded, hunted mind. The only thing that would quiet Carl's constant mutterings was when he was shown the golden coins that had been pried from his grasp when he was found. Then he would stop and stare at the gold in perfect stillness for long, tense seconds before closing his eyes and turning his head away. "Der de Ute. Der de Ute," he'd say. "It's out there. It's out there." And his agitation would grow and grow until the coins were hidden away from him again. But what was it? What was the thing that Carl said was out there? Well, the coins made it obvious to local people. He must be talking about the old legend of Drake's Gold. Sir Francis Drake, the adventurer, the explorer, the pirate. Well, that name surely fits. Drake spent the summer of 1579 raiding and pillaging Spanish ships and towns up the whole west coast of the Americas. He slipped his pursuers by heading north into the deadly, foggy, reef-filled waters off the coast of what would much later be called the state of Washington. He sailed north in the winter, when no sensible Spaniard would follow. And somewhere on those misty coasts, they say, somewhere, he had to lighten his load of gold and silver in order to fit enough supplies to attempt to cross the Pacific Ocean. So he must have buried the treasure, right? Somewhere, somewhere on that lonely coast, in some empty cove or up some frigid stream, sleeps a wealth beyond imagining. But then, why would he leave gold and silver behind? I mean, why not heave a cannon or three overboard instead? Ah, the story spinners and the myth makers have an explanation for that, of course. They say that a fiendish presence had begun to haunt Drake's ships. At night, on long watches in the frigid mists with clouds hiding the moon and stars, men begin to dream things. Lights seen not far across the water would raise a cry for all hands, only for morning to reveal an empty, impassable reef. Or some crewman would awaken to screams coming from down in the black hold, but their mates wouldn't hear anything at all. Worst were what the crew called the bones. A sailor walking alone at night down a black passageway would be seized all of a sudden by frigid, bony hands trying to throttle him. And when the watch ran with a lantern to the sound of the struggle, there wouldn't be a soul to see except the terrified sailor, coughing, gasping, and with long bruises already blackening around his throat. Francis Drake was a superstitious man. It's historical fact that he'd had a rival executed for witchcraft earlier in the voyage. And Drake decided, so they say, that one particular part of his ill-gotten treasure was haunted by the ghost of some of the many he'd slain to acquire it. Well, how he determined which part of the treasure was cursed, even the legends don't say out loud. These were the days of witch trials and inquisition, when spirits, divine and malevolent, were a lived reality for most people, and even the most learned minds of the age wrote treatises on enchantment. There are whispers of harrowing night watches, and the feverish prayers of men tested to the limits of terror. Murmurs reach us across the ages of a lean, terrible figure, followed with shaking steps by wavering lantern light deep into the hold. Tracked back to a wooden chest filled with some of the richest treasure that Drake and his men had taken. It must have been hard on a gold madman like Drake to part with such a prize, but he didn't seem to have a choice. And they say that once that part of the treasure had been buried safe ashore, and the sailors were rowing back to the ship, the legend says they saw that horrible, lean figure standing on the beach one last time as a warning for them never to return. Well, there's a tall tale, if ever there was one. Oh, I never believed it. Even the 1911 thing, with the poor sailor being found wandering about on the beach. I mean, that's plausible enough, but the stuff about old golden coins found in his fists, that smacks of the sort of thing that bored newspaper writers of the time would cook up to sell a few more papers. No, I'm sure he was just a shipwrecked sailor, and that lonely, eerie Washington coast is just the sort of place to breed outlandish stories. I wouldn't trouble you with these brittle old newspaper clippings if that was all there was to it. But this last year I heard from a man who had more to say on this very same topic. Not the story of the old shipwrecked sailor. No, he'd never heard that part of it. But he certainly had heard of Drake's lost gold. And not just heard of it. He said he knew where it was. Sure. Well, that sort comes out of the woodwork sometimes. Harmless enough, usually. Well, they have their own theories and stories and things that seem very real to them. And only to them. But his email didn't feel quite like one of those. It seemed very grounded, very honest. I couldn't see the harm in hearing him out. I'm glad I did. And then again, part of me wishes I'd never listened to what he had to say. His story starts half a world away from the Washington coast, but it ends up... Well, I hope you join us on the next episode to hear just exactly how it ends. It wasn't an easy journey for him, to say the least. It's a frightening story to tell. But then, that's our business here on the Buried Legends podcast. Delving deep into fear, exploring the inexplicable. We're experimenting with this format of breaking longer stories up into shorter, punchier episodes than the full-length ones we do on the Camp Monsters podcast. If you like it, leave a good review. If you don't, well, come on, don't leave a review like that. Just send an email to buriedlegendspodcast@gmail.com. That's buriedlegendspodcast@gmail.com. We'll get the message. But that email is also a good place to send any ideas you have for legends, mysteries, or strange happenings that you think we might like to do a few episodes on. Who knows? The next buried legend you hear might be your own. Speaking of exploring the inexplicable, Nick Patry's skill at sound design is also inexplicable until you realize that he's not a man, but an audio elder being who can hear sounds well outside the range of normal human experience. In fact, go ahead and say it out loud. Good work, Nick. Oh yeah, he heard you. Chelsea Davis is our senior producer, which is to say that she makes these shows happen through sheer exercise of will. Keep grinding, Chels. These tales are written and told by yours truly, Weston Davis. And a friendly reminder that the legends we unearth here are just legends. Folks may claim to have had similar experiences, but it's up to you to decide what's real and what's better left buried. Thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a nice review. Tell your friends. And join us again for the next episode coming soon.